Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans-Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, one day away. It is the final day before the season begins. Did not think we'd make it to this point, but we did, damn it. One more sleep till Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. Deshaun Watson versus Pat Mahomes, Volume 3. National TV, Bill O'Brien looking to prove himself and show that he is worthy of being along for the ride with Deshaun Watson after that payday. We know Andy Reid's going to be here for a long time with Pat Mahomes. Does Bill O'Brien deserve it? Does King Bill deserve it? These are the many questions that we're going to have to answer leading up to kickoff, which is 33 hours and 20 minutes away. J-Lo, here is the quarterback of the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson getting a little national TV run talking about the significance of tomorrow's game, where they will return to the place where they played their last game in the playoffs last year.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely been on my mind this offseason because we went that far, and they were the teams that go to the Super Bowl. So if we would have won that game, not saying we would have went, you know, to the Super Bowl because we had another game after that, but it was definitely a big stepping stone that we had to try to jump, but we couldn't be able to accomplish. So we got to go out there and take it one play at a time. You know, play as a team, do what's right for our team. But at the same time, you know, we have that game, but we do remember the October game where we went there in October and we won an Arrowhead. So, you know, we have both games on our shoulders, but we definitely got to know that it's a whole new season. It's a whole new opportunity.
You got to love it. And I like the fact that he went and talked about, hey, let's remember that we've gone in there and beaten those fools, and we've got what it takes to win. Totally different look from the Texans perspective. Very similar, slightly better look from the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's what makes it so intriguing. It also is what makes it the anticipation so high. I mean, this is an unveiling. This is the curtain is rising on the Houston Texans of 2020, and it's a different look. And Deshaun Watson has that money now, and he's got some more wide receivers, a new offensive coordinator. As much as things have stayed the same, there is an entirely different look from this Texans team.
Yeah, and in speaking of that change, might get a look at that change. DeAndre Hopkins no longer with us. Randall Cobb ready to go. Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins' replacement, ready to go, or is he? Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Did not practice yesterday.
Is there irony there?
Rehabbing that quad. We know that according to Albert Breer and many, Bill O'Brien did not like that DeAndre Hopkins did not practice. Now, when I saw Brandon Cooks, he looked pretty good, but it seems like he hasn't practiced for about a week and a half. So are we going to see Brandon Cooks on the field tomorrow? I think that is the most intriguing storyline leading up to kickoff tomorrow on Sports Radio 610. usually if you are going to play, yesterday is the day in which you practice. That's the final practice before the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they're just being extremely cautious with Brandon Cooks, which could be another issue on itself, we might not see the guy that they traded a second-round pick for on the field tomorrow in Kansas City.
Shout out to Alanis Morissette on this one, because DeAndre Hopkins, in part, is not a Houston Texan anymore because Bill O'Brien didn't like the fact that he didn't practice a lot. Well, Brandon Cooks is not practicing, and you're right. If you just kind of deduce what yesterday's practice meant on a regular game week, it was a Friday practice. You don't practice on a Friday. You don't play on a Sunday. That's just generally, it's almost like a rule, an unwritten rule. Football does have a couple of those, and that is if you can't get on the field for practice Thursday or Friday, you're not going to play. So I would not be holding out a lot of hope for Brandon Cooks at this point. I really wouldn't.
We really got to keep an eye on this, the Brandon Cooks thing, because John McClain was on earlier. He's going to join us on game day live from Kansas City tomorrow. It's very, very interesting that you talk about the durability and you say, well, Brandon Cooks only missed this amount of games with a concussion. If the season opener happens with on the national stage where Bill O'Brien, he can call it just another game. Jack Easterby can call it just another game. Bill O'Brien has been the subject of more scrutiny in the offseason than I've ever seen any exec. On the national scale, anytime anything happens with the Texans, Bill O'Brien is the butt of everyone's jokes. Yeah. They can tweet out something about Justin Reed going and reading to kids, and fire Bill O'Brien tweets will be on the timeline for the Houston Texans.
Which I think actually has happened.
100 times. No, I'm not making this up. And now it's the national stage. It's the most anticipated opener maybe in NFL history because we didn't know it was going to get to this point. And Bill O'Brien trades DeAndre Hopkins, and one of the guys who they feel is going to fill the void for DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, might not play.
Yeah.
You can say it's just another game, but I don't think it is to Bill O'Brien. And it would be extremely, extremely ironic if Brandon Cooks does not play tomorrow. And the other thing about these injuries, J-Lo, is – they linger, man. Like, if you have a quad injury enough to keep you out of a season opener in which your last game, the last game he played was like 9 months ago for Brandon Cooks, and all of a sudden you're going to miss a game this big, this stuff can linger. It's something to keep an eye on. It's one of the many storylines that are going to develop and continue to unfold up to kickoff 33 hours and 11 minutes from now. It is the world's biggest pregame show, Landry Locker. John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Watson versus Mahomes, Volume 3. Watson won the first one in Kansas City, Week 6 last year. You'll hear that game today, commercial-free Texans radio production at 8 o'clock. We know what happened in the second one. Mahomes and the Chiefs came back from 24-0. The rest is history. They've got a Lombardi trophy because of that dub.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Patrick Mahomes talking about a potential rivalry and something developing between him and Deshaun Watson after both of them became very, very rich men this offseason.
For sure. I think you saw that with the last year and the year before that. You see Deshaun and the Texans are a great football team. They have a lot of great talent around him, and he makes a lot of big plays in big games. And so I think I said something to him last year at the end of the game, and that we're going to have these battles for a long time. And we're two opponents in the same division. I mean, same conference with the AFC. So I'm sure I'll play a lot of games against them.
There you go.
Did Patrick Mahomes pat him on the head and say, good job, good effort?
Little bit, right? It does feel that way.
Hey, man, I'm sorry we beat your ass, but, you know, we'll play a lot of games like this.
It does feel that way.
It kind of does.
And, I mean, really, I think this is a game that even if the Texans aren't going to be in the playoffs, I think beating a team on the national stage, I think it goes a long way for developing a rivalry, maybe getting their attention. So it's a massive game tomorrow. It couldn't be any bigger. I'm very excited about it. But I don't think I'm as excited as everyone's favorite double murder. O.J. Simpson is excited for this game. His analysis is on point, John.
Well, it does.
His analysis is on point.
Football.
Look, do you not think some of our listeners, shout out to the loopholes. If you're listening, you are a loophole. We got some loopholes who are making eight figures. We got other guys who've been to prison, and they're getting a second chance at life, and they still listen to our show. Mm-hmm. So we just got to judge O.J. Simpson's words on the context when it comes to sports. This is an equal opportunity
you're
show.
Right. You're right.
Shout out to the loopholes. OJ, not sure if he's a loophole, but he's excited for the game. Here's the juice talking about tomorrow's game.
Hey, Twitter world. it's me, yours truly, and it's football week in America, and I couldn't be happier. And look what game we get to start with. Kansas City and Houston. Who could forget that comeback that Kansas City mounted last year at the end of the season? And look at the two quarterbacks, two young guys in their mid-20s, and soon between them will be making $90 million a season. $90 million this season. I was born 50 years too early. Even though as a running back, they still would have disrespected me. In any event, football is back. Good luck to you. Stay safe.
There you go.
Man.
OJ's excited.
Yeah, OJ.
But I got to remind
Twitter world.
I got to remind OJ of something. I got to remind you of something. I got to remind all you jabroni loopholes out there of something. And I got to remind you of something, Figgy.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know this, when it comes to football, when it comes to the National Football League, when it comes to playing the game, when it comes to what we're going to see tomorrow, when it comes to 17 weeks of NFL action, in case you didn't know, this is what the league is all about. Courtesy of King Bill O'Brien.
I mean, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning.
It's all about winning. Did you not know that?
You know, that's...
Here, come sit on my knee. Let me explain to you. It's all about winning.
I mean, did Bill O'Brien break some news for us?
It's a winning league.
It's all about winning.
It's a winning league.
It's all about
according
winning.
According to B.O.B.
All right. Now now you know.
You won't get that analysis anywhere else. Shout out to Bill O'Brien. Thank you so much for letting me know that the league is all about winning. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is the world's biggest pregame show in the loop, Sports Radio 610. We're going to have Chris Myers joining the show, former Texans Pro Bowl offensive lineman. We're going to have Nick Wright joining the show, the most hated man in Houston, really. A Chiefs fan and a LeBron stan? Gotta hate him. Gotta hate him today.
Hey, that's my guy, man.
And speaking of Stan, Stanford Route at 1240. So we're absolutely stacked here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It is the final show before the season begins. I know you're excited. 713-572-4610. If you want to hop on, we're going to keep it going all the way up till kickoff. There's going to be some fights on the field tomorrow. There will be fights. We're going to lay out the card for you, including a fight that you need to keep a close eye on in the trenches. In the Loop continues the day before the opener next.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios. It's the kickoff countdown. We're less than 33 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, there's going to be some fights tomorrow on the field. Fights.
Like throwing hands fights?
Hands. All that. There's going to be some fights. Let's start out with the lightweight fight.
Okay.
Bradley Roby versus Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. Bradley Roby's actually done a pretty good job on Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill was not who killed the Texans last season. Really, outside of the one catch in week six, which you'll hear today courtesy of Texans Radio Production, Tyreek Hill did not hurt the Texans that much. And Bradley Roby in Denver has actually had some good games with Tyreek Hill. This is going to be one of those games inside the game to keep an eye on. Bradley Roby versus Tyreek Hill. That is your lightweight
plays, bro.
Fight, hopefully. I mean, hopefully.
And the best thing about that to watch is what you just said. You know, the Texans have talked about speed, how much they've added. Well, a lot of times you can talk about speed, but until you show it with the ball in your hand. You know, and that's where Tyreek Hill is at his best. Once he gets the ball in his hands, you know, they use him not just to stretch the field. The Texans talk about stretching the field with their speed. Tyreek Hill, they'll use him on crossing, on unders, on wheels. I mean, they'll stretch the field with him as well, but they just want to get the ball in his hands, and can Roby keep up?
That's going to be one of the important matchups. Continuing the card, matchup one, mm-hmm. Bradley Roby versus Tyreek Hill. What's your confidence level there? I'm pretty confident because I think you're going to have some help. If you just told me that Bradley Roby was going to be on an island with Tyreek Hill, I would be terrified. But I do think he's going to have some help over the top. I think you naturally have to keep a safety over the top. And he's experienced in him. So, again, I respect Tyreek Hill. I think he's one of the five best receivers in the NFL. I don't give a damn what Cecil Short says about it. But I do think that based on the help that he's going to get and based on the job that he's done, as well as the Chiefs looking in other directions to succeed, I feel okay with that.
I feel okay. That's probably the best way to put it. You can't feel good because of all the weapons they have. Keep in mind what Travis Kelce, the attention he's going to get if Tyreek Hill is getting the safety attention. That's why I think, Landry, we're going to see nickels and dimes, heavy dose of nickels and dimes from the Texans. Extra DBs, extra two DBs, whatever it may be.
Speaking of Travis Kelce, matchup number two.
Middleweights?
On the card, Travis Kelce versus...
Show me my opponent.
I don't know.
Lonnie Johnson.
I hope not. Who guards Travis Kelce? How do you do you do to stop Travis Kelce? I am worried about that. I don't know what the answer is for Travis Kelce.
We got crickets. Crickets are covering Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce is basically a wrestler that walks out to the ring. Mm-hmm. He walks out to the center of Arrowhead Stadium. He grabs a microphone and says, I'm challenging any of you jamokes and jabronis in the back to bring your ass out here and step up to me. That's what he's doing. I don't know who stops Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce is going to be Larry Bird at the All-Star Game 3-point competition. Which one of you bleepity bleeps is going to finish second to me? I mean.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have an answer for how you stop Travis Kelce.
Let me ask you this.
I have no idea. Help me.
It's got to be safeties. I mean,
okay, so you're going to put a safety let Tyreek Hill go over the top? Or Nicole Hardiman? I mean
we're putting safety
Hardiman,
first.
You have to have it back. So then you have to pretty much line someone up man to man on Travis Kelce. I just don't know who.
You got
to
pick your I mean I know it's a cliche. Sorry, Figgy, but you do have to pick your poison on this.
And that's the poison. And sometimes poison bites you in the ass.
Yeah, it does.
It does. We saw it last year. 3 touchdowns from Travis Kelce. So I have no idea. He has no opponent. He's got the microphone. He's at the center of the field, and he's saying, someone bring their butt down here. Matchup number 3. So we have Tyreek Hill versus Bradley Roby. We feel okay about that. Travis Kelce versus who the hell knows. We don't feel great about that. Matchup number 3, and this is the mystery part of the card. It is two guys making their debuts in their current roles. Clyde Edwards-Helaire of the Kansas City Chiefs, the rookie
bantamweight,
running back, versus Anthony Weaver, the first-year defensive coordinator.
Okay.
As if Anthony Weaver didn't have enough to worry about with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, he now has to figure out how to stop a guy he's never seen play at the NFL level, who is a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, he can run out of the backfield. Anthony Weaver is going to have to figure this one out. So Anthony Weaver versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire is matchup number 3.
And this is going to be, I think, where Anthony Weaver gets the most creative. At least it's just my hunch. It's a gut feeling, if you will. And, you know, gut feelings is what built Las Vegas. They don't always pay off. But it is my gut feeling that this is where he's going to get creative. Maybe not just with a linebacker, but maybe go full, you know, old school Pittsburgh Steelers defense and try to confuse the rookie with maybe a defensive lineman dropping into coverage in the flat. You know, some of the really creative, you don't see this even at LSU kind of stuff. And just kind of, you know, they're going to keep things simple as much as they're going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're going to try to keep things simple in terms of how much they throw at him in a particular game. So maybe confuse him with the defenses, the sets, you know, is what I think is going to happen.
Matchup number 4. On the card of fights tomorrow night in Kansas City, Brandon Cooks versus his quad. Can Brandon Cooks beat his quad and be on the field the first game when life after Hopkins begins. Brandon Cooks
You'd have to ask him.
Versus his quad. That is maybe the most important matchup of all.
You can't be hamstrung, no pun intended, even though it's his quad.
Ooh, I like
you. You can't be hamstrung when your depth chart of receivers that can hurt this team. Now, you can get by against some teams, Jacksonville, others that are on your schedule, with a receiver that's injured or out, but not against the Chiefs. Because it's going to be, if you're going to have a chance to win, you're going to have to score a lot of points, and you can't do it with one of your guys out.
Yeah, and then you got to think Kenny still steps in. And then, I mean, you do have depth, but Brandon Cooks is a guy that they relied on heavily. Matchup number five, the Texans wide receivers versus the depleted Chiefs secondary. They are very, very thin in the secondary. They're even more thin because a knucklehead is out for the game because he likes to roll around with Amira Hoochie.
Mm-hmm.
Texans receivers versus the Chiefs secondary. But I think you can connect this to the previous match, Cooks versus Groin, because if Cooks is not there, that's basically an equalizer for the Chiefs secondary.
How much do the Texans, do the Chiefs respect the Texans running game? That is key in this matchup, because they might be able to bring in an extra DB. If the Texans aren't pounding them with David Johnson and Duke Johnson, or they think they can get by with six up front in a particular set, if they don't respect the Texans' running game, they'll have an advantage. I think this is an advantage Texans, to be honest.
Rashad Breeland out for the Kansas City Chiefs, so that is good for the Texans. The heavyweight fights. There are two heavyweight fights. Heavyweight fight number one. On the main events, Bill O'Brien versus Tim Kelly. Is Tim Kelly truly going to get to call the plays? Or is Bill O'Brien going to be over Tim Kelly's shoulder and micromanaging the situation?
They're going to be versus each other?
This is one of the most important fights on the field tomorrow. Bill O'Brien versus Tim Kelly.
I don't know how I feel about this one. I felt real good until yesterday.
If B.O.B. wants to win it, he wins it.
Day before
it's
yesterday.
It's just a matter of if he doesn't want to win
it. Yeah, it's a one-sided match if that's what you want. If that's what he wants to do, it's going to be very one-sided.
The final match, heavyweight fight in the trenches.
I like this one a lot. Mitchell Schwartz
versus J.J. Watt. Here's Eric Bieniemy, the O.C. of the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about the heavyweight fight. Two 300-pounders just duking it out.
You know what? It's first of all, we were blessed and fortunate to have this opportunity to watch him play, because Schwartz has been doing this for a long time. JJ has been doing this for a number of years. And just watching those two play, you know, and the sad part is that now when it comes to taking on JJ, he's just going to be the same consistent professional player that he is. He understands how JJ plays. He's going to be consistent with his pass sets. Hey, you know what? Sometimes he might get JJ, and sometimes JJ might get him. But that's not going to stop him from being the very best of who he can be.
All-world defensive lineman JJ Watt.
I'm worried about this, and the reason I'm not worried about it, the reason I'm worried about it is because JJ hasn't been practicing. Mm-hmm. And I know JJ is a freak of nature. I know JJ is one of the best to ever do it. But what's his conditioning going to be at? Is he going to be ready to go against Schwartz as a guy who hasn't practiced that much, as a guy who still, regardless of whether he came back from it, he did tear his boob last year.
Yeah,
his pec. He's coming back from the torn pec. Is JJ going to be ready to go and ready to play the amount of snaps that the Texans might need him to in order to get after Pat Mahomes and get the best of one of the best tackles in the NFL?
I think JJ is going to be ready to go, but game shape is what you're talking about, and game shape is defined by Mitchell Schwartz. Can I interest you in a stat?
All day.
Mitchell Schwartz has had the opportunity to play 8,432 snaps in his now 8-year career.
Is that a lot?
8,432 snaps he's had the opportunity to play. He's played 8,431.
Oh, wow. Numbers are hot.
He's missed.
What a wuss.
In 8 years.
What a wuss.
You want a stat? In 8 years.
He missed a snap?
A left tackle.
Soft.
16 games, 16 Soft. Games, 16 games, 16 games. Soft. For 8 years, he hasn't missed a game. He's missed one snap.
What happened there?
I was thinking the same thing.
Did his shoe come off?
His shoe got untied or something.
He was probably falling.
He's missed one snap, and he's an all-pro tackle.
there's going to be fights. There's going to be battles. Some of them within, some of them with body parts.
There's also going to be a fight that I got to tell you about in a second, too, between you and me.
Yeah, we'll duke it out after the break. We'll also be joined by a former Texans offensive lineman and one of the funniest guys this side of the Mississippi, Chris Myers. I want to ask Chris Myers if he thinks it's strange that Tim Kelly found out that he was going to be calling plays after we did. We'll cuss and discuss. Apparently, we got to duke it out, so we'll get into it next.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
There's something very unusual going on in Taco Bell. Something I wouldn't expect. We're making pizza. Mexican pizza. It's like pizza, but it's different. With a crispier double tortilla crust, ground beef, and two kinds of cheese. More fresh ingredients. And it's made for one person. Mexican pizza. Maybe you wouldn't expect it from an ordinary fast food place, but at Taco Bell, you would.
Man, pour it out for the Mexican pizza. Tomorrow's Mexican pizza day, though. I want all the loopholes joining in. We're going to make Mexican pizzas homemade. We're going to watch the Texans. You can drink whatever you would like to drink as well. Pour it out for the Mexican pizza. Send in those pictures. John Lopez already talking smack.
Oh, I just tweeted at you.
Trying to flex his culinary dong on me. But, you know, I'm not going to let you get in the way of my happiness. Chris Myers joining the show. Speaking of happiness, Chris Myers joining us the day before Texans versus Chiefs. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing these days?
Man, just hearing your voice warms my heart, big fella. Let's get right into it. I know kids are getting back to school everywhere, including yours, and you're a stay-at-home dad, so you got stuff to do later. Let's get into it, all right? I'll start with the offensive line. Best offensive line Houston Texans have ever had. You were at the center of it. They're hoping this is going to be the next great offensive line. What are you seeing from these guys, man?
Yeah, I'm anxious to actually see the part that they put in the field this season. You know, Tunsil getting locked up and Martin fully healthy and the group kind of gelling together throughout this camp. I'm just really, really excited to kind of see with a major test week one. I know we'll talk the keys to the game kind of stuff, but I really do. It's cliche to say, but it starts in the trenches. And it's like if they can keep, him up on his feet, I think we have a big-time chance down the field. I know with Cook's kind of questionable a little bit, and we'll see how that pans out closer to tomorrow. But if the offensive line establishes a line of scrimmage, obviously especially the run, but keeps Deshaun up, I think we have a great chance.
Bill O'Brien gives up the play calling to Tim Kelly. I want to get into that with you a little bit. Based on what you know about Bill O'Brien, why do you think it would be necessary for B.O.B. to give up the play calling? And are you optimistic that Tim Kelly is going to be much different from Bill O'Brien, given the fact that he's kind of followed him around for 10 years? So it's really kind of all he knows.
Well, that's where I think that the trust factor is there, I got to work with Tim a little bit my last year in the league, Bill's first one there. And I think that he has all the capability in the world to kind of mix and sprinkle in his own little spices of this O'Brien offense. Obviously, he's been tutored under him for so long, but he has his own ability to be able to kind of give his nuances of certain plays. And I'm assuming over the years he's been able to kind of adapt to this offense and kind of make it unique of his own. So I'm anxious to kind of see what extra little things he can sprinkle in there for Deshaun, the wide receivers, the running game, to keep it interesting and keep everybody on their toes.
As a player, former player, how would you have reacted to DeAndre Hopkins being traded? And then, of course, now you see the result of that with Brandon Cooks coming in, Randall Cobb, et cetera. How would that whole dynamic have affected you as a player?
That's tough. When I was playing, to not have your star player and, to this point, a couple star players have some turmoil behind the scenes and it go real sour and then be traded away or cut – it kind of breeds a little bit of animosity in the locker room. And obviously they've been able to kind of manage that the right way, at least from the media perception. It doesn't seem to be bleeding out. But there's got to be some underlying stuff that still exists. You don't just kind of get rid of your star players on a routine basis and not have some kind of players feel a certain way. So that being said, though, everyone is professionals, and that's why they are playing in the NFL, and they're able to hopefully put their bygones to the side and put a great product on the field. But, you know, a talent like him is a once-in-a-generational type of talent, and it was very, very surprising to me. I kind of knew behind the scenes some of the stuff going on, as well as everybody did. Did I ever think it would get to that point? No. And I'm still kind of in shock about that. But selfishly, I'm happy for DeAndre where he's at. He seemed a little bit happier out there. And hopefully these Texans can capitalize on the cast and crew they got right now.
Jadeveon Clowney, another guy who's out of here. What's your reaction? We'll get back into the Texans, but I just want to follow up on that. Another guy who kind of clashed with B.O.B., no longer with us. He's now in the division on the old Oilers. A lot of people kind of throwing up just at the sight of that. But what are your thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney being a part of the Tennessee Titans? Is that much to do about nothing, or is that a massive, massive deal when it comes to the landscape of the AFC South heading into the start of the season tomorrow?
I'm excited for that. You know, I think that thing got played out a lot longer than it probably should have. But him ending up on the Titans is just the most ironic thing ever. And to be able to play him twice a year now is going to be real interesting and a great product to put on the field, not only for the Texans and the Titans, but for the NFL. It's going to be the storyline, at least for the first season when they play each other. And hopefully it just breeds for a great, great competition on the field on both sides of the ball.
Talking to the great Chris Myers, former Texans Pro Bowl offensive lineman. Chris, I learned this yesterday. I had no idea. I'm about to blow your mind because I know you played a lot of football. I know you know the game.
I love these kind of things. Here we go.
Oh, hey, he is. This is his strength.
I'm telling you, man. I know you've played the game, but I'm about to blow your mind. I'm going to give you an education courtesy of Bill O'Brien because I had no idea until he said this yesterday, okay?
All right.
This is Bill O'Brien talking about what football is all about. Prepare to have your mind blown, Chris.
I mean, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning.
There you go. It's a league about winning. Did you have any idea?
No, I played a long time. And I never knew that.
Hey, let me ask you this. Just a very generic question here, because I feel like we probably should have started with this. What do you think about the Texans this year? We've talked around it in some of the moves and stuff. The division is a lot better, man, and the Texans – with all the moves, are going to be kind of a totally different look, but they still have number four at quarterback.
Yeah, anytime you got number four quarterback, gives yourself a massive, massive leg up. But you are right. The division looks a lot tougher, at least on paper. Free agency has tremendously helped that out. And it's great. I mean, you're always going to play up to your competition or down to your competition. And, you know, the AFC's kind of been under par as of late. And this year it looks like it's going to be one of the tougher divisions in football. So I'm anxious to kind of see how that works. You know, the Texans have added a couple pieces, but at the same time got rid of a few. And they're still trying to find their exact way to get to that top-tier Super Bowl. You know, they were close last year, and hopefully they'll have some redemption tomorrow night.
Do you think they're facing the best team in the league tomorrow? Is it Baltimore? Is it Kansas City? What do you think about the Chiefs? Are they by far and away the favorite to repeat this year?
I'm old school in the sense as whoever won the last Super Bowl is usually the top team, and until they get knocked off, and they're that top team. And right now they just are a machine on both sides of the ball. And you know, we were very close last year. The Texans were to pulling that off. And being able to kind of get some redemption and start the season off on the right foot would be huge. And I think I forget who was on talking about it either yesterday or today. One of the listeners brought it up about, you know, Deshaun being very, very successful in the second time after coming up short versus a certain team. So I'm anxious to see how he goes after getting beat by Kansas City to end the year, to start out with them again and getting some redemption and putting a little bit different product on the field and getting some heavy numbers.
All right. Chris Myers, for those who don't know, is a Loophole, by the way. Still listens to us even where he is up in Pennsylvania. One of the things I miss the most about our talks, Chris, and you in general, is our off-air and sometimes on-air conversations that don't really have much to do about sports, so I can't let you go. I got to give you a would you rather. That's one of your strengths. That's one of your.
I was waiting for it.
It's here. Would you rather be covered in fur or scales? Fur like a bear, scales like a fish. Fur like a beaver or a bear or whatever.
So the pure fact that the scales will probably smell. I'm gonna go fur. I'm up here in Pennsylvania, so it gets kind of cold up here every now and then. So I need that extra layer of fur for sure.
All right, one more real quick, and then Landry has an offbeat one. Would you rather spend a year in prison or lose a year of your life?
Ooh. I guess it's a double-edged sword. I could lose my life in prison, too, so I might as well give it a chance inside the pen.
All right. Well, you got that bald head and the big biceps. You'll be all right.
All right, Chris, you're one of those guys who got skinny after you played, but you were a little bit heavier when you were actually on the field. Give me a when you were at your fattest story. For example, like when I was at my fattest, I would get a large pizza, and then on the way home, I'd stop at Taco Bell and get a burrito and eat it on the way home. Give me a when I was at my fattest story from Chris Myers.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at my fattest, after hitting some bars and in Houston, I'd be hitting up Taco Bell. You guys brought it in on the intro, the Mexican pizza.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Just make sure you listen on the radio.com app when you hang up and pick up your kids.
That was the appetizer. Then a few big beefy Fritos, and I mean, I had a massive appetite for Taco Bell late night. That's for sure.
All right,
Chris. Always a pleasure. You want to make a prediction before you get out of here?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight one. Obviously, high scoring. I'm definitely taking the over, but I'll do a 34-31.
All right,
Chiefs or Texans?
Texans.
There we go. Okay.
I'm going to leave it up for the imagination.
Exactly.
Yeah, you ain't getting out off that easy, Chris.
All right. Take care, my man. We miss you.
All right, guys.
It's the man, Chris Myers, here on Sports Radio 610.
Would you rather be in prison for a year or lose a year of your life?
Just lose a year of the life. I mean, you're losing a year of your life in prison anyways. So you're basically asking me, would I rather go experience the prison or would I rather lose a year of my life? You're losing a year of your life in prison anyways. That was an easy one. Not quite sure what Chris was thinking there.
Yeah, well, he can get by in prison. We probably could not.
Could he?
He's a bad dude.
Yeah, I feel like
he went to the U, man.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest dude.
He's been in some scrapes, I'm sure.
I feel like the biggest dude is usually the one that they go at in prison.
I got my ingredients.
For the Mexican pizza?
Yeah. For those who don't know, Figgy, are you in on this?
Nah. Man. Probably not,
You're
man.
Not a Mexican pizza
guy? Not really.
Yeah. Landry has thrown down the gauntlet for all our loopholes, all our listeners.
Homemade Mexican pizza day tomorrow, baby.
In honor of Taco Bell axing theirs. I got all my ingredients on the way home. You ready?
Oh.
You ready?
It's going to be ridiculous.
I got a hunch yours is going to be like Velveeta and chips.
No, it's going to be like the Mexican pizza.
I got the stuff to make homemade flour tortilla dough.
Oh, my God.
I did. I could show you the receipt. It's in my wallet.
Okay.
I got the stuff to make homemade enchilada sauce.
Okay.
I got the Mexican cheese mix as well as some cotija cheese.
See?
Bad and bullshit. The cotija cheese has got that salt hardness to it. It's going to be really good for
the pizza.
How
much it costs?
I don't remember. It was in there. It's that little.
Bucks.
It's that little. Yeah, it's pretty expensive, but it's good. It's kind of salty. And I got some pickled jalapeno, which is key.
What does jalapeno Bad got to do with Mexican pizza? You're just making stuff up.
Jalapenos is not a Mexican.
They don't have that on the Mexican pizza.
I'm making my Mexican pizza.
All right.
Mexican cotija cheese, pickled jalapeno. I got regular bell peppers, mushrooms. I got a little bit of comino. I'm gonna throw on the top, just drizzle. To give it that Mexican flavor, and then some garlic.
Okay, that's...
I'll send pictures for you.
Doesn't sound like a Mexican pizza.
What's yours going to be?
It's going to be the actual Mexican pizza, man.
No, I'm making a Mexican pizza. Yours is going to be what?
Taco Bell type Mexican pizza.
What are you going to put on it?
Ground beef, cheese, mild sauce, maybe a little
I'm going to use the chorizo, Mexican chorizo.
There you go, see?
Yeah.
It's kind of showing off, but it's okay. It's okay. Let's help out some kids in the community. This is one thing that we can agree on. Sports Radio 610 is partnering with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign. Could I interest you in a stat, J-Lo?
Hit me.
60% of Houston kids enter kindergarten without the reading skills needed to succeed. You can connect that to the fact that 61% of low-income families have no books in their homes. A $30 donation gets kids 6 books of their choice to start their own home library. Loopholes are helping out already.
How about Splitty?
Blake Drew has donated. We just had someone drop a G.
Philip dropped $1,000. He texted HTX Reads to 41444. So you can match Philip with a grand by texting HTX Reads to 41444. You can drop $30, $50, $100, or any number in between those. I did it yesterday. It's very, very easy. It just takes a matter of seconds to get it done.
41444 HTX Reads. Let's help out the kids. Let's give them a head start. Let's get them on the uphill instead of fighting an uphill battle when they do go. So 41444 text HTX Reads. Courtesy of the Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation and Sports Radio 610. Will DeAndre Hopkins' replacement be on the field tomorrow night? There are very, very reasonable doubts that suggest Brandon Cooks will not be in action tomorrow. That's next.
Make the team better. T-E-A-M.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.